And can you tell me about your private practice?
Private practice arose partly because when Michael Fitzgerald retired from the General Hospital, he said, why don't you help look after some of these patients? And being a senior lecturer, it was frowned upon to do any private practice. That was just not right. So I agreed, but to do it on a Saturday morning, and I got permission to do that, and have done it ever since. It's very satisfying. It has its pros and cons. The pros are that patients get personal attention, and that's good. Personal time, that's good. It enables somebody to come by appointment at a time that suits them, and particularly for professional people, a Saturday morning is excellent. Some people, like butchers, find it impossible because that's their busy time, and that must apply to others. But it is a time that is more relaxed. The phone doesn't go. It is a time, and provided you can get some nursing support, because I don't think doing it on your own is right, and it can provide a service up to a point, but only up to a certain point. There is a limit. The facilities you have, the investigations you have. So when there are problems, it can be a dangerous place, and you've got to recognise the limits of what you can offer patients. And a very good example is what to do in emergencies. Well, what to do in emergencies, it means that you must go through your general practitioner, and you can't provide a 24-hour emergency private service. I think on balance, patients gain because they gain time, and time to discuss things and time to educate. But I think they and you have to be very careful about the limits of what you have to offer for them.
You said that most primary care nowadays is done by GPs. So how do you in private practice relate to GPs?
Well, there is a conflict of interest sometimes, or potential conflict of interest, and the poor patient is told off by their general practitioner for not attending them and going privately, and, of course, the patient is actually dependent upon the general practitioner for all their basic medical care and all their prescriptions. So it is vital that the patient and the practice nurse and general practitioner continue to be on good terms. On the other hand, somebody who is very busy and can't attend the midweek diabetes clinic at the general practitioner and wants to come in the evening or weekend for diabetes care, I respect, and I think that's very reasonable. However, I do try and get the patient to play both carefully, and that they may attend privately, but that they must keep contact, whatever way they wish to, with their general practitioner, because, as I say, their basic care has to come that route. And I think it has worked out in practice now. It used to be difficult, but the general practitioners are much more aware of the importance of the private consultation and the extra time that's being given. However, I think one has to be very sensitive to that particular issue. Of course, the question of prescriptions from their general practitioner, problem of how many blood glucose strips they're allowed to have can be quite an issue between a patient and their general practitioner, and I can make some useful comments about that. I have to remind patients, though, that, of course, they're getting free prescriptions is a fantastic privilege that has been in the NHS since it was founded. And this is way and above most chronic diseases, and diabetic patients should be very grateful for that. I do have to remind them occasionally that the cost of their prescriptions is really quite considerable.